To get us started, I will read two types of districts on page 13. A district is part of an area, one of the 93 areas that make up the U.S.-Canada General Services Conference. Below are the two types of districts in general service. Geographic district, this is the most common type of district. The number of groups in a district is usually determined by how many groups a district committee member or DCM can reasonably be expected to keep in touch with, learn their problems, and find ways to contribute to their growth. District boundaries may be redrawn should the number of groups increase or decrease significantly. For more information, see Appendix F, redistricting, sorry, and then linguistic district. To encourage participation of the maximum number of groups, some areas have incorporated linguistic districts within their structure. These districts are made up of groups that conduct meetings in languages including French, Spanish, Polish, Vietnamese, and American Sign Language. They usually have a bilingual DCM or liaison. Their boundaries may be independent of the conventional geographic district boundaries. And now I've asked Bob T to read what it means to be a DCM on page 13 and 14.
Hi, everybody. My name's Bob. I'm an alcoholic. What it means to be a DCM. The district committee member, or DCM, plays a vital role in general service. While the GSR is the voice of the group, the DCM is the voice of a district. A district needs a leader. The GSRs will look to the DCM for guidance on being GSRs and serving their groups. They will look to the DCM to lead on forming an agenda for district activities. They'll want to be inspired and encouraged, but not told what to do. A DCM who can set their own opinions aside in favor of listening and supporting the district's GSRs and of understanding and advancing the conscience of the district's groups is practicing two important principles of leadership in AA: leading by example and serving with humility. The DCM learns the thoughts, wishes, and needs of the district's groups in different ways. Many districts set aside time in their meetings for GSRs to give reports on what's happening in their groups. This gives the DCM the opportunity to listen, to ask questions, and to make suggestions, and to follow up to see if the suggestions helped. The DCM also learns by visiting and communicating directly with the groups. Here, the DCM is serving as a resource and not as a replacement for a GSR. In a group without a GSR, the DCM may be able to open a line of communication. Sometimes this stimulates interest within the group to want a GSR of their own. What the DCM learns will eventually form the conscience of the district. As a member of the area committee at area assemblies, the DCM has the opportunity to express the district's conscience in more than one way: by asking questions and making suggestions on area business and proposing new ideas, perhaps for a new way to carry our message of recovery or a potential revision to a piece of AA literature; by conveying the district's conscience to the delegate on issues coming before the annual General Service Conference. The DCM can help to make the district's conscience part of the delegate's thinking. By voting on the area's trusted servants, including the delegate position, and the area's activities and budgets. Thank you.
Thank you, Bob. Remember, if you have a question at any time during tonight's presentation, please send it directly to Billy through the chat. He will be answering questions throughout this presentation as he sees fit. You'll have until 5 minutes to the top of the hour, and the time is now yours, Billy. Thanks.
Thanks, Billy Alcoholic. Good to be here, everyone. Going to take care of two questions from last week quickly and get them out of the way. And then I'm going to do all I can to prevent that from happening tonight. So there was a question last week that was sent to me, which is a good question to start off with tonight because it'll really help us with this chapter, which was, Should the GSR chair the business meeting of your home group? So the easy answer there is it's not a bad idea, but it's going to be different in every part of the country, every part of Canada. In some areas, some groups, that's the longstanding thing that the GSR is the chair of the business meeting. In other groups and parts of the country, it's not. The thing I like about it is that I love when the GSR is also the group chairperson, because then it means that like someone who really wants to do service is the GSR if they're going to carry out those responsibilities. I strongly feel that one of the biggest reasons we have a problem in the structure, I'll just ask for those who have the camera on, do not use the virtual, just your own hand, quick show of hands. How many people here have been to an area election assembly? I'm just curious. Okay, quite a few. I have been to so many area election assemblies, and I have facilitated so many area election assemblies. And it always goes in the following order. Delegate, alternate delegate, area chair, if there is an alternate area chair, treasurer, secretary, registrar, something like that. It does send a message to the people voting that the most important position being elected for the area to deal with is delegate. That's the first thing we get out of the way. I never hear people arguing with that. It seems to make perfect sense. Why do we do, I would say, in 90% of the groups that I've been to in my life, why do we do the exact opposite with GSR? Why does GSR seem to come like right after alternate deputy anniversary cake person, right? It's like every other position has been accounted for, and then we're going to get to GSR. Maybe it's time we need to change that. Maybe it's one of the things we could start to do everywhere to make the GSR the first position elected by the group. More important than the chairperson, more important than the treasurer, like somebody who's really committed to the group. I just throw that out there. So that was the question about should the GSR be the chair of the business meeting. That is entirely up to you. The second question was, is it okay to be a GSR if I've never been an alternate? Yes, of course. Would it be nice to be an alternate? Yes. Is it nice to learn or have a mentor? Of course. But the biggest reason I say it's okay to stand for GSR is if somebody is a bad alternate delegate, they're not going to be a good delegate. If somebody's a bad alternate registrar, they're not going to be a good registrar. If your alternate GSR is not doing their job or not participating or not showing up, don't make them your GSR. It's just not going to magically change when they become GSR. The other thing, and this is from more a practical point of view, 40 or 50 years ago, which used to seem like a long time, and now, due to age, now, 1980, when I first came into AA, is 40 years ago. Blows my mind. But the triangle was more upside down regarding finances. Groups were more self-supporting. And many groups could afford to send a GSR and an alternate GSR to the assembly. In the area that I live in, I've said it before, for my home group, it's $1,500 a month. I mean, a year. $1,500 a year for us to have a GSR. Fully funded. And I'm using low numbers for that. It's very hard today to have My group could not afford 3,000 to send the GSR and the alternate to every quarterly. We simply don't have that kind of money. So, yes, is it nice to be the alternate? Yes. Is it required? No. So tonight we're on DCM, which opens up a whole bigger can of worms regarding how things are done. And for anyone that's new to service, this is where the service manual really becomes more of an overview than it does a helpful tool for understanding how your area operates. Because even if you see here what it means to be a DCM and it says members of a district committee, current GSRs, it says some districts form ad hoc or standing committees. Depending on the district and type of committee, the committee's chairs may be selected by the district or elected or be appointed by the DCM. Some districts may have a treasurer, a secretary, chairs. This is so all over the map when it comes to districts across the United States and Canada. First of all, the term DCM is interpreted differently in so many different areas. You have to have your area guidelines, or maybe they call it your area current practice, but you have to be familiar with how your area and your district does business. Because we've actually created other terms that are not in there. Because remember, in this chapter that we're reading, district is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 pages. And one of those pages is questions. That breaks my heart a little bit because I think the district is the most important link inside the communication chain. Obviously, GSR is the most important job, but without an active district, without a district communicating, we have big trouble all over AA regarding communications. But when you turn from page 17 to 18, you go from the section on the district and its district committee member to all of a sudden the area assembly. There's nothing in the middle there. But yet all over the United States and Canada, we have positions in the middle. We use the term DCM at large. We use the term county chair. We use the term district chair, which in my, where I live, district chair is different than DCM. We have some areas that have zones. And a zone is a couple of districts. Then we have this further problem, the size of districts, both geographically and by groups. I live in Palm Beach County. It is a very populated county in Florida inside Area 15. We are one district. We have a district chair. That position is not mentioned in the service manual. We then have multiple DCMs. That's how our structure is created. Our DCMs do not all conduct their own individual district meetings. The district is the district. We have some areas where districts tend to be a little larger. And there's only one district or DCM. And then the groups. When my district gets together in District 8 in Area 15, there's tons of DCMs that are there. But yet I could send you to another area that has large districts where there's only one DCM, the actual district chair. So you have to know how your area conducts business. The other thing you need to know is what are the responsibilities of your district. And here we fall into terms that individual areas use, like mini district, sub district. We have those terms that are all across the country in Canada. The district is not there to serve the meetings inside the district. The meetings are not part of the general service structure. It says it right here. This is the most common type of district, the number of groups in a district, not the number of meetings. Now, the difficulty you'll have there is, I guess 95% of the meetings in America have been given a group number. So they think they're a group. But I want to just let you know that your job is not to convert meetings to groups. And it's not to convince meetings to have GSRs. Meetings were never supposed to have GSRs. The job of a DCM is to deal with the groups. The problem is most people in AA don't know the difference today between a meeting and a group, but it's caused us lots of aggravation. Let me just see if I have any questions so that I do not. Let's see. I have heard that there's been a change to the upcoming edition of the service manual concerning the addition to Chapter 2 to include the description of online districts. Did that occur at the conference, or how did that come? So, the conference does not need to get involved in online districts because districts are the business of areas, truthfully. We don't make rules or take governmental action. The conference and the office can't tell areas what to do. Most of the ones I see are a local group that happens to be online and they want to take part in service. So they join a geographic area. It changes every day because of this newness since the pandemic. But there are a few areas that have specific districts that handle the online groups. I have not seen the new service manual or the approved changes. But how are they going to handle that? Are they going to consider that? What was read tonight to start it off said there's two types of districts. Are there going to be three now? Are they going to be a geographic, linguistic, and online? I don't know how they're going to handle that. One of the issues that's coming up is areas that have online districts that only have online groups in them. There are groups in other parts of the United States and Canada that want to join and be a part of general service, and they're now asking to join those districts. Area 14, I know, has had this challenge because they have an online district. There's another area that has an online district, and I know they have had the same challenge. I'm not here to say right, wrong, or indifferent, but if the General Service Office is not going to put any rules or guidelines around online districts, areas are going to have to. Because what's that look like? What about if it's an online district in an area that's not hybrid and none of those people actually live in the area? I mean, there's so many levels of complication here about participation. My hope is that the General Service Conference and the General Service Office will deal with this issue and will try to put some guidelines around it that maybe would help everybody. There's another question. People in the groups and meetings keep bringing up AA should never be organized and use this as a justification not to put focus on group service offices. Oh, thank you for that question. That's a great question. I want to point out, hold on. See, such a good question. I don't even have the right book in front of me to give the answer I want to give. So give me like 2 seconds. So let's go to that tradition in the 12 and 12. The short form says AA as such should never be organized, but it may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. The long form says each AA group needs the least possible organization, rotating leadership is the best, and goes on from there. But the long form does not say it shouldn't be organized. Almost like we throw the autonomy word around in the short form of tradition four, and that's not even in the long form. What I would tell you is the best way to look at that to the person who asked this question, which is a good one, is the comma in tradition nine, the short form. AA, comma, as such, what never be organized. They're talking about the front lines of Alcoholics Anonymous. You have as little organization as you need for your group. If your group is small, it doesn't need a lot of organization. If your group is a couple of hundred people, it needs more organization. But it was never meant that we should just be a total mess, you know, with no organization. That's not the purpose of that. Organization is kind of like, you know, we don't have a government. You know, like our districts tell our areas what to do. And the areas and the groups through the areas tell the conference what to do. I'm sure there's people here who are members of other organizations, could be Masons, Chamber of Commerce, Rotary, Boy Scouts, Girl Scouts. I could go on and on, right? In all those other organizations, the person at the next level is actually really above them. Their job is to tell them what to do and how to act. Whereas ours is the opposite, which makes it really hard sometimes to keep a tent around everything we have going on. I used to joke around during the pandemic when they were playing reruns of True Blood. I used to love that show. And I thought, it's so easy for all these vampires because they have a sheriff. And the sheriff is in charge of that district. And if some group of vampires is off the reservation, he just comes in and straightens it out. It's like, we don't do that. Change up. We don't do that in AA. We're the exact opposite, which causes some difficulties at time. But don't let them use that. We need as much organization as we need to continue to carry the message. One more question that came in already about districts is, I think I know the difference between a group and a meeting, but what is your definition for clarity? Well, I just want to stress to this person, my definition doesn't matter. What matters is the definition in the AA group pamphlet, which I'm not going to get up again to grab my AA group pamphlet. But a group exists beyond the primary meeting hours. They do things together. They're attached in the middle of AA, connected to AA, to their district and their inner group. A group is doing 12-step work in between meetings, a group made to get together with its members to celebrate anniversaries or birthdays or things like that. But I would tell you to please get an AA group pamphlet. You can Google on your phone right now, AA group pamphlet. It's the first thing that comes up. It says, see the PDF. You can click it and see the PDF, and you can get one. Here's my question. The area I live in has DCMs and GSRs rotating in or out any month of the year, so they do not follow the term of the delegate. When the GSRs are voting for the delegate alternate area positions, it seems they really have no idea how to differentiate one candidate from another, since they don't know the people, nor have they served with them. I see this as problematic. Your thoughts? Yeah, it's very problematic. That's why the original service manual and all since then say that you should elect GSRs on the same rotation as delegates. And if a GSR resigns in June, their term doesn't start in June. They finish out the term of the GSR that was elected, and then you elect a new GSR, or even that same person, for a full 2-year term. But it's a big problem if people who are electing our delegates don't know our delegates or the people who are standing for those positions. We should do whatever we can to fix that. And sometimes area officers and delegates are the worst culprits in this. And I throw myself in that description. Because it's easy to give a short answer to someone, oh, just elect it and make that the term, right? It's simple, it's easy, it's not complicated. But let me ask you something. Would they do that for the delegate or alternate delegate? Never, never, never. Would they say, oh, the delegate resigned in March, we're going to change our delegate term to March to March? They don't get to do that. The conference charter is clear. The conference charter is clear and the guidelines from GSO are clear. January 1st until December 1st, 2 years later. That's the term of a delegate. There are some areas, including I think the person who asked this question, there are some areas who don't elect all their officers at the same time. There are some areas that do that. I want to say Oregon, Georgia. I'm not sure of any others. But that doesn't cause too much harm. What causes the real harm is people voting for people they don't know. And then what do? They either vote for the person who sounds the best, or they vote for the person who's the alternate because they don't know anybody else. And they have no idea if that alternate really showed up and did a good job. And alternates are super important in Alcoholics Anonymous. I'm an alternate delegate that became a delegate overnight when my delegate had a massive heart attack and died. Unfortunately, and I wish her the best and big prayers her way, but the delegate in Area 15 recently stepped down because she is sick and has to concentrate on her health and her, you know, getting better and her treatment. So our alternate delegate just stepped up. But our alternate delegate doesn't get to call me and say, you know what, Billy? And listen, she's a great AA member, so she would never do this. But imagine she did. Imagine she called me and said, hey, Billy, it's Lisa. I've decided to make the delegate term June to June because Carrie resigned in June and we're just going to make it June to June for 2 years. No, she can't do that. And we should do the same with GSR. And again, big prayers out to Carrie and her family and her husband and wishing her the best. Let's see. Is it acceptable that a district DCM or area be responsible to educate a meeting members about the service structure and what a home group is in case they are likely not informed? So educate is a difficult word in Alcoholics Anonymous. We don't describe a lot of what we do as educating. We tend to like the term sharing experience better, that phrase. Also, educating can seem condescending to other AA members. if you come on like an educating kind of tone. I do think that there's some real great work being done by inner groups and districts and areas who they don't force themselves on groups, but they let groups know that if they want the area officers or the district officers or the inner groups to come by one of their meeting nights, they will explain what they do. And for some group members, they're going to hate it and say, I came here for a recovery meeting. But there are other group members who've never been exposed to it. Like you might reel somebody in who's never been exposed to it, who 20 years from now might be a trustee. It's just don't force yourself on the groups. I would not do a PowerPoint presentation on the difference between a meeting and a group. I think you'd have be a lot more effective over coffee in a parking lot, and sharing your experience that way. Our manual specifically states the area chair will the alternate delegate. It's not happening, and when challenged, no answer was given. I have a district meeting tomorrow. I want to be clear before I answer that question. If that person who asked it is from Area 15, please send me a note saying, yes, Area 15. I don't want to answer it unless I know that I am basing it on the current practice and reading. Can you reconcile the group as defined in Tradition 3? Any two members may call themselves a group with the definition of the AA group pamphlet. Sure. The AA group pamphlet just talks about the difference between a meeting and a group. Tradition 3 is talking about that you need at least two members, but the AA group pamphlet is very clear. RDCM, our alternate DCM rarely ever attends district meetings or communications with the district. So as the secretary will fill in for area matters when my DCM is available. Yeah, that happens. And all I can tell you is that alternate DCM is probably not going to be a good DCM. I don't know them. I'm just basing that on what I have witnessed. People just don't mysteriously do better when they have the real position. All right, I have the answer that it's not the area I live in, but the person who just said the area number, could you just send me a note? One more, and let me know, is this year an election year for you guys? This fall, do you have an election? Okay. So I want to go very slow here so that because I could go fast and then I lose people. And the question being asked is that an alternate delegate has resigned. And according to the person who handled it, who sent it in, their guidelines say the area chair becomes the alternate delegate. So here's my feeling on that. This is an election year. Elections are in October. I think the body should decide if they need the area chair to become alternate delegate right away. You're going to elect the new delegate and a new alternate in October and November. Do you need an alternate delegate the next couple of months? Or could you have their duties done by someone else? The reason I'm really hesitant on this subject is the following. I believe in fully fair elections. I don't know this area chair. But I kind of respect them because if they did step up to area delegate right away, when the election happens in October, people are going to want to elect the person who just stepped up. And I'm not sure that's fair to everyone else who is going to stand. I think we have positions filled that we need filled. But if there's going to be three or four people standing for alternate in October, do we need somebody to become alternate now and be kind of, because, in Alcoholics Anonymous, what we are never supposed to have is incumbents. We're not a political system. And as you know, incumbents get elected more than people who are not incumbents in the political sense of the word. We don't have incumbents in Alcoholics Anonymous. We elect new people to serve positions. But if that alternate, if that area chair would have become alternate delegate, they would be standing for alternate delegate in October or November as the incumbent alternate delegate. And I'm not sure that's fair to everyone else who is standing, who wants to stand. I think, as I said that, of course, I said it's not my area. And then I, let's see. Any suggestions on how we can deal with all the DCMs who don't attend assemblies? And what about all the alternate DCMs who are serving as DCMs because there aren't sufficient people willing to serve? Well, I have a couple of questions, answers about that. Most of our area assemblies now, if they were contracted in hotels or buildings to be big enough to handle everybody, we wouldn't have the money. So while we can complain that not everybody is showing up, we rent space for like a quarter of the people. So what would we do if everyone showed up? As far as alternate DCMs stepping up, I mean, I'm glad they're stepping up, but why the DCMs not showing up? Which, you know, a lot of people sent in questions and I've been answering them as they came in. But I do want to say this because I believe in it very strongly. Most of our service structure right now regarding area and districts has been the same for 40 or 50 years. Think about that. 40 or 50 years, no change. And it doesn't work in 2024 what worked in 1975. Like, I don't know each person's story in this meeting right now, but maybe your districts are too small for today's day and age. Maybe your districts are too large. Maybe you need a county DCM or a district chair or a DCMC. Maybe you don't. But it's so interesting to me that I see areas and districts do inventory after inventory after inventory, and we never deal with the structure. Like, does the structure we have today work? I was at the last assembly where I live. I went to the business meeting that Sunday for most of it. I can tell you this, the room was not big enough for even the people there. I can tell you that if a fire marshal came in that room, we were way over the limit, way over the limit. But what's going on if we're renting space that's not big enough to hold everybody? Now, we're glad people are showing up. But I really mean this, like, if you have not taken a hard look at how your assembly does business or your district does business, it could be simple things. You might be meeting once a month and you don't even know why you meet once a month. Maybe you only need to meet once every 2 months. You could still be meeting on, I don't know, Wednesday nights at 8 o'clock, but somebody decided that in 1975 or 1980 or 85. Like, your structure around your district and your districts should be what works best today. You know, and we argue about hybrid a lot and everything else, and all I'm saying is maybe there is a way we can use this technology we're on now to get more participation. I'm not saying always. I'm not saying anything like that, but I just know that most areas conduct business the exact same way. And so if you want to do a little research, what I can tell you is most areas have been using electronic records since 2098. Districts too. Get two pieces of information as a result of this conversation we're having tonight. Get your district agenda from some month in the year 2000 or 2002 and take a good look at it. Do you still meet the same day of the week? Do you still meet at the same time? And then look at the order of business. Do you do everything the exact same way? And do that for your assembly too. I mean, things that don't change are dying. That's just a fact. If any business was doing things the same way now that they were in 1950 or 60, that business would be bankrupt. And just because somebody's been in service there 10 or 20 years, and that's the way they've always done it, I know you've heard about Rule 62 in AA Comes of Age and in the 12 and 12, but it's Rule 63. This is the way we've always done it. That rule has been doing damage in Alcoholics Anonymous for years. Like when you ask somebody, why do we meet on Tuesdays? Oh, we always meet on Tuesdays. Oh, that's not a valid reason. And so I'm just trying to really stress that if you want your district and your districts to work, then you have to make sure it's a structure that's built for today and not 40 years ago. Let's see. There was a couple other things I wanted to mention, but I'm going to say before it gets too late, if anyone's holding a question for the end of the meeting about districts, please throw it in now. So we don't fall into the same thing we fell in last week where questions came in at the very last minute. So I'll give it a second if anyone has any other questions. Okay. There are some things out there I want to throw out there that just check inside your area. We still have a lot of areas that require you to have been a DCM in your area to stand for area chair or delegate. I think we're way past that time. I think we're way past it. I mean, I know somebody who is a GSR, an alternate GSR, an alternate DCM, a DCM, then an alternate area chair, then a registrar. It's 2024. At the time, it was 2018. Like, I'm not trying to insult any baby boomers that are on this meeting right now. It's not my intention to insult. But factually speaking, people don't work for the same company for 40 years in the same house with the same white picket fence and never move and have their kids live right around the corner. We live in a very different society today. Does that happen in some places? Yes. But the world is much more what they call global, global and local. The world is very much more of people getting opportunities for work and other things in other places and taking advantage of those opportunities. That person who I just mentioned had to become a DCM in his area in order to stand for alternate delegate. And yet he had like 18 years service experience. I mean, we talk about diversity and inclusion so backwards in Alcoholics Anonymous. Like, if we really want to be diverse and inclusive, get rid of those rules that don't count prior service. Now, on the other hand, I love DCMs and district chairs who become delegates and alternate delegates and area chairs. It used to be very common 40 years ago for the new alternate delegate or area chair to come from the ranks of DCM. That's how important the DCM role was. Today, we've created so many area officers with an alternate for each of them. I mean, think about it. 40 years ago, not too long ago, 40 years ago, most areas, I would say 40 years ago, still like 30 areas had no alternate delegate. The area chair stepped into the alternate delegate role if it was needed. There were hardly any registrars. There was one secretary. Anyone been to like an area assembly lately? It's like my big fat Greek wedding, like that dais with like 40 people on the dais, right? Like, there's an alternate for every position. We've added extra area officers, and I'm not saying we don't need them. But the problem is, are you going to serve in every one of those positions before you become a delegate? Is that what a DCM is supposed to do? I don't believe so. And as a person who was young when I was a delegate and wants more young delegates, it's never going to happen if you're expected to serve 18 years or 24 years, 2 years at a time. You know, I don't have any other questions here, so I can really talk about and focus on. Well, there's one more question. When a district is dark, should we make changes, combine them with an active one, or just leave them dark? Yes, other districts should try to help inactive districts come back to life. But I do want to talk about how important the district is. And a little of this weaves into online. I'm not anti-online anything. It has its purpose. But most districts, I mean, most areas, a lot of areas, are the whole state, right? Let me go to my map for a second. Of course, I'm in the new service manual, and I don't have the map page dog-eared. Someone else can probably, who knows it better than I do, the new manual can tell me right now what page it shows the map of all the areas. It's one of the appendices now, I believe. Let's see. 89. Thank you very much. So let's look at that map for a second. New Mexico, one area. You know how big New Mexico is from top to bottom, east to west? Colorado, one area. Let's look where I'm sitting, South Florida. Two areas in Florida, really three, because the northwest portion is part of Area 1, Alabama. But from the top of Area 15 to the bottom in Key West is a 5 or 6 hour drive. My point on that is areas are large. They can't be the boots on the ground that it knows what's going on around the corner from your group or your house. The district is so key regarding literature, public information, corrections, cooperating with the professional community, public information. The district is the most important tool of the area to have boots on the ground doing real general service work in your backyard. The area officers can't handle all of that in your backyard. It's not possible. And this is the difficulty with online. What about if all your chair people in a particular district don't live there? What about if they live 800 miles away? Who's doing the boots on the ground work in your district? And the last thing I want to say before I turn it over to Brooke is communication. We have delegates who get mad because they don't send something out, but another delegate does. And then somebody in their sponsorship family sends something to somebody. And then the delegate's like, I didn't send this out yet. And they're like, oh, yeah, I got it from another delegate. But it even happens with districts. Make sure that your groups and your district and your area have a valid communication plan. Your district and your area chair and your area delegate should have a plan on how you communicate and the method you use. And if the delegate sends something to the district chair or the district or the DCM, well, then they should send it to all the groups. But you have to have that discussion. I can't solve that. But I do know the problems when we have individual people who don't all send out the same information. We wind up with delegates who get mad that people are getting the information from other delegates. So that's it, Brooke. I throw it back over to you.
All audio and video files on the District6AA.org website or the District 6 in Area 15 YouTube channel are for personal use only. Reproduction, distribution, and commercial use are not permitted. In accordance with District 6 current practice, no faces are shown in our videos and audio is scrubbed for anonymity prior to publishing. Contributors whose voices are heard have given record and release consent. Opinions expressed by the presenter are their own and do not necessarily represent the group conscience of District 6 as a whole.